Well, it's certainly good to be here tonight. It's been a beautiful day. I mean, for November, I don't guess you could expect a better day than today has been. But it has been a blessing to be a part of the day. Now, it's a blessing to be a part of this evening, and to be here with you is indeed a pleasure for me. And I hope as we study together this evening from Romans chapter 14 that it'll be a pleasure for all of us as we consider the scriptures that we will look at this evening. It's good to be here. Appreciate the invitation and appreciate your presence with us tonight. If you have your Bibles, take them and turn to Romans chapter 14. I know you've been going through this text, and I think last week you dealt with maybe the first part of this chapter, I think, where it talks about him that is weak in faith and receive ye but not unto doubtful disputations. The doctors say a Hippocratic oath as they begin to do their work in the work of medicine. And it is attributed to the Greek physician, Hippocrates. And in one of his works of the epidemics, he wrote this. He said, the physician must be able to tell the antecedents, know the present, foretell the future, must meditate these things and have two special objects in view with regard to disease, namely, to do good or to do no harm. And I think that's really kind of what Romans chapter 14 is dealing with. He's dealing with Christians. He's dealing, as I've already mentioned, the first verse says, to him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not into doubtful disputations. And I think when we look at chapter 14 of Romans, he's dealing with this idea of the weak. And matter of fact, he'll go on and talk about that even more in chapter 15, y'all talk about that next week, so I'll try not to get into that part of it. But as you talked about that last week, as you dealt with that issue of brethren not passing judgments, despising one another, the Gentiles despise the Jews despise the Gentiles, the Gentiles for eating, the Jews for not eating. And he's just saying, you know, this ought not be. Y'all not, you know, the Jews kept their days, but the Gentiles, you know, had days. And no, you're not in agreement with these things. And so they were despising. And really he says, you know, the Lord doesn't have days. He doesn't have the meats that he has. Really what all this is, it's given for your glory and you need to use it to the honor and glory. But every man didn't understand that. They need to recognize that God had really received both Jew and Gentile. And regardless of where the culture that they had come out of and whatever they might be doing by their nationality that they would do, that they were still to be accepted. You know, I think about this. I travel some into the Caribbean, and they have cultural things that when you get down there, they're just things that we don't really think about doing, but they would really take offense to. So when I go down there, I try to understand there's a different culture. Things that we just literally get bothered about and things that really bother us a whole lot, it doesn't bother them. And they don't want you to seem like you're bothered by those things. I mean, they're really offended if you seem like you're bothered by those things. And in some ways, they detest Americans for some things. So I can almost kind of get where we might even get to this point where these people are. But you know what? When I go to the place like that, I really come back to the idea, you know, really, we got to keep what's important. Got to remember that. And we got to do what we can. And so that's what he's dealing with here in chapter 14. We're going to begin reading in verse 13. And this is where we pick up. It says, let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know, and I am persuaded by the Lord Jesus, that there is nothing unclean of itself. But to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably, destroy him not with that meat for whom Christ died. Let not your good be evil spoken of, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after things which make for peace, the things wherewith we may edify one another. For meat destroyeth not the work of God, but all things indeed are pure. But it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, or to drink wine, or anything whereby thy brother is stumbled, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself with the things which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. You know, the key what he's saying here in the essence, what we need to do is we need to begin to show our appreciation for our brethren. We need to begin to think about our brethren. I think about the song we just sang before I got up here, and that is how we're bound together in our Christian love and every delightful stream of love. You know, how like we ought to be bound together as we sang that song. And I think about that's what I think Paul is writing to these Christians, to remember that there's something that is important here. And what he's saying, he says, don't harm the weak. You know, it's really easy for us to start to look at people and say, well, if they were what they ought to be, well, you know, that's right. That's always key. If they were what they ought to be. But you know what? That could be me. You know, it could be that I'm what I ought to be, then I would be different too. And so we always have to remember that from the context where we're coming from, we may not be where we ought to be. And so we have to remember that. And there are certain things God has said, this is right and this is wrong. And we understand that. That's not what we're discussing here. We're not discussing things that in Romans chapter 14 that God has said, this is what's right and this is what's wrong. Now, sometimes it's sad that this passage that is written for the idea of bringing, I think, unity and growth and strength and encouragement to body of Christians would be taken like it has oftentimes in our day and time and used to divide Christians. But really what he is saying, don't harm the weak. Him that is weak, receive. That's what he says. But don't receive him to doubtful dispensations. And what he says here, he says, deference to the weak, not condemnation. Verse 13, let us look back there. Let us therefore not judge one another anymore. This idea of judging one another, making a determination upon a person, don't put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in your brother's way. You know, when I read this text here in Romans chapter 13, my mind goes back to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. I'm turning back to 1 Corinthians, or forward, I guess, actually, to 1 Corinthians chapter 8, 9, and 10. And he deals basically with a parallel here. And in chapter 8, Paul would never eat meat again if it was going to cause his brother to stumble. In verse 13 of 1 Corinthians chapter 8, he said, wherefore, if meat maketh my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. And what I'm doing, I'm making deference to the weak. You know, he ought to know that it's okay to eat meat because God has said it is. But yet, he can't get past it. He can't get past that. He cannot eat meat. He's not okay with that. So what am I going to do? I'm going to give deference to him. I'm not going to eat as long as the world standeth. In other words, he says, really what I'm going to do, and Paul in his life did this a lot. Matter of fact, in chapter 9, he talks about the things he had a right to do, but he didn't do for the gospel's sake. As a matter of fact, in verse 23 of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, he says, this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be a partaker of this with you. And what is that? Well, it's foregoing whatever it is. To the weak became I as weak. To those without the law, without the law. To those with the law, with the law. You know, what I did all things to all men, that by all means I might save some. You know, that's what we're trying to do, is we're trying to save people. We're trying to bring people along. And so we need to give deference to the weak, not condemnation. The question is not, is it okay for me to do this, but will my weak brother be offended? Will my weak brother be hurt? Will my weak brother be harmed if I do this? I put no stumbling block before him. That's what it boils down to. I'm not going to put a stumbling block in my brother's way so that when I do something, he is made to stumble. He is made to be offended. You know, and when we see this, we see this. Matthew chapter 18 is a case where it says, if your brother have fault with your brother, go and tell him his fault between him and him alone. You know, there's a case, there's a fault that's there. Here's a case where a brother is offended at something his brother does. Well, what does he do? Should he just go condemn his brother for that? No. What he needs to do is go and tell him his fault. Say, you know, this is where the problem is. And then let's get together on this. That's what Paul is saying. He says, don't put the stumbling block. Don't cause this to be a reason of division between you. Don't put a stumbling block there. In verse 14 of Romans chapter 14, he says, I know and I'm persuaded of the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. In other words, everything is clean. Everything can be taken. Everything can be received with the glory of God, with thanksgiving. But to him that esteemeth one thing to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Now, if you think it's unclean, don't you go out there and eat it. If you think it's wrong to eat it, don't you do that. Well, you know, there are people who have a problem with that. You know, think about how this would be in the first century for a Jew who had always grown up with the dietary restrictions that were in the law, and they were given these things, and they had learned this from birth, and they were all of a sudden told, now you can go and eat pork. They've never been able to eat pork before. But now you said, it's okay. You can eat it. As a matter of fact, we actually have that recorded for us in Acts chapter 10. You remember when Peter sees the dream and he's told to rise and eat? And he says, no, not so. No, never. No, not so. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to defile myself like that. He had been trying. Did he not know that was no longer a problem? That wasn't under the law. That was under the law of Moses. And somebody said, well, he should know that. Well, in that case, I guess Peter was the weak brother, wasn't he? He should have known that it was okay to eat that. But should a Gentile judge him for that? No. And so what he does, he goes, and of course, the point there is he's showing that God has received the Gentiles as well as the Jews. That's the point that's being made there. But the point I'm making is that would be difficult. It was difficult for Peter to imagine that. It would be difficult for any Christian who grows up in that kind of environment to all of a sudden be said, okay, this is okay. I think there are things like that in our day and time. I don't think that we have to go around and women have to wear burkas, you know. But if you lived in the Middle East and you grew up in that environment and that's the way you lived all your life and that's all you'd ever known, that's all you'd ever seen, and you were in that culture, and all of a sudden you say, well, I don't have to do that. I'm not a Muslim. Do you think it would be easy just to throw that off? No, I don't think it would be quite that easy. I think there's a cultural thing that is there. And I think that sometimes there would be people who would say, no, that's not what would be expected. And I wouldn't need to judge a person if they had a problem with that. And I go back to the second parallel of 1 Corinthians chapter 8, 9, and 10, when he's really making the point, what one believes is important in what you practice. If you think it's sin, that you don't need to do it. You know, if you think that it's wrong and it's violating your conscience, don't you do it. And that's what he's going to go back here at the end of this chapter and say, whatsoever is not of faith, it is sin. We need to make sure that we don't just sit there and think, well, I'm going to hash this thing out till we get it figured out. That's not what he's saying. He says there are things that we are going to have a difference about that God is indifferent about. God is okay with it. And we don't have to hash it out till we get people to agree with us. And if they can't get them to agree with us, then we're just going to write them off and send them down the highway and say, that's good enough for them. But oftentimes, that's kind of what happens. We don't accept our brother. And what he says here is, do not grieve your brother with your meat, verse 15. And walk not with love destroy him not with the meat for whom Christ died. Paul says you fail to walk in love when you die. When you are forcing your way on somebody, you're not walking in love. You're not showing them the consideration that Christ has shown for you. And that's serious. He says, and this is the one for whom Christ died. Yes, we have a liberty, but we do not have a liberty to the point that we are going to hurt or wound our brother. That's where our liberty ends. We are not going to force our brother to accept my views, neither is he going to accept me to force his views. We have that view, but we are not going to wound one another's conscience. We're not going to judge one another according to these things. We are going to walk with them in love. There may be views that I have, but I'm not going to bully my brethren to accept my view, though my view might be what I think is right. But I'm going to work with them. I'm going to be patient with them. I'm not going to push them to violate their conscience and do irreparable damage to their faith, because that is grieving your brother. We need to keep in mind, again, this is the brother for whom Christ died that we're talking about. The second thing I want to notice with you that he talks about here is that we need to pursue righteousness. In verse 16, he says, and let not your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Let not your good be evil spoken of. We do not want to act in such a way that while we are doing that which is maybe good and right and holy, that while we're doing that, we are causing our brother to stumble. And I think I've seen this case in time and past. People with good meaning intentions can hurt their brother and so wound their brother while they're doing what is right, while they're standing for what is right, while they're trying to be holy, righteous, and godly. They're trying to be strong. And I believe they have every intention of goodwill. I mean, I don't think they're intending to say, I'm trying to hurt this person. I don't think that's it at all. But Paul says, you know what? While you're doing what is good and right, don't wound your brother. It's possible that your good can be evil spoken. That you can do something which we bring dishonor to God, dishonor upon the people of God, dishonor upon the faith of a brother. And we need to be careful about that. He reminds us that really what is important and what the kingdom is all about is not meat or drink. It's not about the eating of meats or not meats. Or what, you know, it's about what? Righteousness, peace, and joy. You see, that's where we need to stay. We need to make sure that the kingdom is not about my liberties of being able to eat meat or whatever the liberty I might have, but it is about being justified in Christ. It is about the justification I have in righteousness and being declared righteous by God through Jesus Christ. It is the fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross and pardoned me for my sins. That is what I need to remember. I need to find unity and peace with God and His people, not destroying them. And so He reminds us that this is where we are, is righteousness, peace, and joy. But how oftentimes do we not find that among the people of God? And we hurt the weak. May God help us to seek unity in this. He goes on in verse 18. He says, for he that is in these things, serveth Christ. He is acceptable to God and is approved of men. I think about how he says he serves Christ. Our lives as Christians should be a life of service. And you know, he says that when you're serving Christ, he says then you're acceptable to God. You know, really the life of a Christian is a life of a servant. That's the way the Bible describes people that are Christians. They describe them as servants of Christ. And you know, when you go back and you look at text of Scripture, you really see how that is pointed out. You see how Jesus in John chapter 13 taught his disciples about the idea of servitude. He girded himself with a towel, and he washed their feet. And he said, you know what? If you don't want me to serve you, then you're not getting the point. My point is, you are to be servants. And I'm showing you how to be a servant. If you can't be a servant, then you can't be my disciple. That's really what he's saying. Matthew chapter 25, verse 31 and following, those verses. And I won't take time to turn over there and read all that, but I just recall that to your mind. When Jesus is there with all the angels and he has dividing the sheep from the goats, sets the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. And he says to those on his right hand, come, you blessed my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For as I hungered, he gave you meat, as thirsty, he gave you drink. You know the text. And then they will answer and say, when did we see you? When did we see you hungry and give you meat? When did we see you thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you sick and in prison or naked and clothed? When was this? He says, well, inasmuch as you did it unto the least of these, my brethren, you did it unto me. Now, my point is, what is he saying they did? What they did is they served. They served. And what he says, they were servants. And what did he say? He says, that's the one who's acceptable. Come, ye blessed my Father. Here he says what? He that serveth Christ is acceptable to God. Inasmuch as you're doing it to the least of these, my brethren, you're doing it unto me. You're serving Christ. You're doing it for me. We need to seek unity in serving. When people are busy serving, they don't have time to be disunified. There's less time to gripe and complain. I remember growing up, I grew up in a family of four. There were four of us. There was one daughter and three boys. And you know what? With one girl and three boys, you can always find something to argue about. But you know what Daddy would do? When we would start arguing, he'd say, y'all have got too much time on your hands, and he'd find us work to do. So you know what we learned to do is we learned that we don't want to argue. We want to have peace and we want to have happiness. We don't want to work ourselves to death. But if we were going to sit there and argue, he would find us something to make us busy, because when we got busy, we didn't have time to argue. I think that's the point kind of here. When you're serving, you're going to be doing what's right. You're not going to have time. That's where you need to focus your time. And then he says, not only are you going to be approved of Christ, but you are going to be approved of men. What is it going to be that people are going to see when they see you out serving and you're out doing these things? You're out here showing your service to your brother, but not only your brother, maybe even those outside that you're serving. Well, it says you're going to be approved of men. Now, being approved of men doesn't necessarily make you right, but sometimes there's approval of men that is right. They see what you're doing. They give glory to God. That's what Jesus said. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. And that's what we need to make sure we're doing. Verse 19, he says, let us therefore follow after things which make for peace, wherewith we may edify one another. Are we living a life that promotes peace and being lights to others? Is that where we find our lives? We find our lives found in that kind of lifestyle? Or is our life so malaligned that we see a life that is producing division and strife? Something that is hurtful to another. I'm trying to put this brother in his place because he doesn't know. He is a weak brother. He says, we ought not do that. So seek to serve. Seek to put yourself in the weak brother's place. Again, I remind you, that's what the Apostle Paul did. He put himself in the weak brother's place. And then lastly, he says Christian liberty is influential. He goes on, he says, for meat destroys not the work of God. All things are pure. But it is evil for that man that eateth with offense. Understand, everything doesn't demand division. We do not have to have the same mind on everything. We don't have to have the same opinion on everything. There are some people that may like some songs, let's say, while others may like other songs. You know, that's just personal taste. Now, if they're not teaching some error, that's it. There are certain songs I like, there are certain songs I don't like. But you know what? There are certain songs I like that my wife don't like. There are certain songs I like that she don't like. You know what? That's the way it is. We have personal taste. We have personal taste when it comes to food. There's lots of things I like. I like hot and spicy foods. My wife doesn't like it at all. We understand that. What he's saying here, he says there are just certain things that are indifferent, and we need to understand that really it's not, but it destroys when we decide that is going to be it. That we are going to have to agree on something that really doesn't matter. In the case of eating meats here in Romans chapter 14, everything is clean. Everything is clean. Everything can be eaten. But we must see the big picture in how we treat our brother or sister who does not agree that everything is clean. That everything is not okay. What are we going to do? Yes, everything is clean, but that doesn't make everything relevant. We need to understand that we are not to destroy the work of God. But there's some people who will trot over the work of God. The brother whom Christ died for. And give no attention to it whatsoever. There may be views I have. But I'm not going to force my brother to take my view. It would not be right. It would not be acceptable for God. He has a right to his faith. When it comes to teaching your children, I think some of this falls in the same line. I've got two boys that I raised. And raising those boys, thing I always wanted to put forth was that their faith had to be their own. I want them to do what's right, and I want them to learn from me what I think right is. But bottom line, they were going to have to make choices about what they believed right was. I couldn't force them, pigeonhole them into a certain thing, and then expect them that that's the way it's going to be. They had to learn to develop their own faith. And I have to do that with my weak brother. I can't force him to take what view I may have. What I have to do is I have to let him develop his own faith. Verse 22, what does he say? He says, "How's thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in the thing which he alloweth." I can do things that I can do in good conscience and do them. In time we can get along with others and maybe someone will come and we may come to agree on the things. I may come to agree with them. They may come to agree with me. Whatever the case may be. But while I'm there and we have this difference, I can practice my faith and have it to myself. I don't have to offend my brother over that thing. But I'll tell you what I must never do. I must never violate my conscience. I need to keep and practice my faith as an individual. I know we oftentimes think about our faith and we think about it in terms of our collective work. And that is where we are. But even within our collective work that we find ourselves, there are going to be differences. If we don't think there's going to be differences, then we're going to wind up finding ourselves worshiping in a phone booth. We're going to find ourselves with just me there and nobody else because nobody else is going to agree. Because you know what? As much as my wife and I agree on so many things, there are still some things we don't agree on. And that's just the way it is. And I'm not going to tell my wife, well, listen, because I'm your husband, you've got to take this view. You have to do it this way. No, it's her faith. It's not my faith. So what do I do? We just go along. remember. It's about remembering the big picture. I'm going to be concerned about hurting my brother emotionally, spiritually, in every way. I'm going to be concerned about him because, you see, Christ died for him just like he died for me. His soul is at stake, just like my soul is at stake. I'm going to be judged in eternity before Christ, just like he's judged. In the verse y'all ended with last week, I think, would have been verse 12. And that is, so every man will give account of himself to God. And so, yes, we worship together, and we worship together to encourage one another, to help one another, to grow one another, to edify one another. And that's what we do. We follow after peace, wherewith we may edify, we may build up, we may strengthen. We don't want the weak to always be weak. But then sometimes we may ask, well, who's the weak? It depends on the person you're talking to, right? Sometimes that's the case. But we're going to work for growth and development. And you know, we can't do that in an environment where I'm pushing my way on somebody else. It just doesn't work. And may God help us to not hurt our weak brother. Our weak brother, the one for whom Christ died. It may be that you're here tonight and not a member of the body of Christ. Christ died on the cross for you, that you might have the forgiveness of your sins, that you might stand before him clean, pure, and justified, righteous and holy. And what a blessing that is. But you see, it's up to you to determine that you want that. If you'll come tonight in faith, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus Christ, Son of God. We'll take you even this hour. We'll baptize you in the baptistry behind me. You'll rise up as a child of God, a new creature. One who, no, you don't have all the answers. You can be a Christian a long time and still don't have all the answers. But you're going to grow. You're going to develop. You've got Christians that are going to work with you and help you. You're going to help them. We're going to help each other so that we might get to heaven. Not because we're so good and so perfect that we deserve it, but because Christ died for us. And we're going to serve him in the way he chooses for us to serve him. If we can assist you tonight, let us know how we can help you. While we stand and sing, won't you come?